All right, Raiders, Laura Gargar here, also known as Reduction Raider. How you all doing? Hope you're keeping well. Our next guest is real salt of the earth. You got to give me that pun, Raiders. It is Earth Day. And you know what? It's true. They are. So without further ado, let's welcome them on. Hi, and welcome to this week's guest. Can you start by telling us a bit about yourself?
Hi there. So my name's Sonia and I work at Sutton Community Farm, which is a community-owned agroecological farm based down in Wallington in South London. And we grow loads of different types of fruits and vegetables, about 40 different types throughout the year. And yeah, we grow everything in harmony with nature, and community is really at the heart of everything we do. As well as good food.
I'm disappointed that I couldn't get down to record this in person. I would love to see the farm. It sounds amazing. I've seen it on your social media channels, but I've not seen it in person.
Oh, yeah, and it's all kicking off right now, start of spring, even though the weather's still a bit chilly. It's a really exciting time of year, lots of blossoms on the trees and lots of new plants going into the ground and lots of hope and expectation for the growing season up ahead. It's looking good, but yeah, the best is yet to come, I'd say, for this year.
Like, I mean, I am rubbish when it comes to planting anything, but like at this time of year, would you be harvesting vegetables?
Well, this time of year is an interesting one. So we're in mid-April, and even though spring is springing and there's lots of new life everywhere and it's really exciting of all the possibilities, we're actually coming into the worst time of year for fresh vegetables in the UK. And that is a period of the year known as the hungry gap. And this is the time of year when all of the old crops from the previous season have either been harvested and cleared away, or things that we've had in storage from the previous year's crops have all been eaten. And yet all of the new season's plants are still very young and not yet ready to harvest. So there's this period of the year, generally from about April to June, where sort of counterintuitively, even though there's lots of new life growing everywhere, there's not really that much fresh food. And so this is a time of year where on our farm, we're not doing that much harvesting. And instead it's kind of pulling out all of the old crops to make way for the new ones. That being said, we do have little bits and bobs. So we've got rhubarb coming through, which is an absolute seasonal delight. That's perennial, which means it grows every year. And because of that, essentially, it gets its energy from the sun from the previous summer that it's stored in its roots all through the winter. And so it means it can just crack on and get growing from March or April time. And other bits and bobs of green leafy vegetables. But yeah, pretty thin on the ground for the next couple of months, sadly.
Well, that's the first time I've heard of that hunger gap. I had no idea. I mean, guess ignorantly like me, you know, it's just go in the supermarket, you just think, well, the veg is there when it's there. And I guess with importation, you know, we tend to have things all year round. So I don't suppose I ever really stopped to think about time of year that certain fruits and vegetables are in harvest and, you know, when you produce more or less.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be alone in that. It is definitely a modern phenomenon that we can have lovely summer vegetables like courgettes and peppers and aubergines kind of any week of the year that we walk into the supermarket. But I mean, in the olden days, the hungry gap was literally a time where people would go hungry or they'd be heavily reliant on pickled vegetables or things that they'd somehow preserved to get them through. Whereas these days, yeah, thankfully we've got farmers and sort of an international food system that allows us to not go hungry and instead have lovely food throughout the year.
Funny enough, I roasted some pumpkin earlier that's been sitting in the freezer for definitely a couple of winters now. It came from my friend's allotment, and yeah, I'm going to do a sort of roasted vegetable and quinoa for dinner. And I thought, right, that pumpkin's got to come out and it's going in.
Delicious. And you say it's been in your freezer for 2 years.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Have you eaten it yet?
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
now you sort of say it back to me, that's been a long time, but
yeah, I mean, it must have, because I can't think when I thought, I'm trying to think when I last went to my friend's allotment, but yeah, I mean, it's been sitting there because he's, you know, when it comes, when he's growing pumpkins, he has so many, like, when we used to work together, and one year, I think I had 12 pumpkins from him, so, yeah, so I've made pumpkins, pumpkins, yeah. Pumpkin soup, pumpkin curry, pumpkin pie, you name it, I've pumpkined it. So yeah, and you know, and then because I get so much from him, I'll chop it up and keep it in the freezer, and it's been sitting there. And today I was roasting some veg that actually my boyfriend bought, yellow sticker, so they were reduced price broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and I thought, you know what, I can't keep having that pumpkin sitting there, that's gotta go in there as well.
To eat the pumpkin.
Yeah. Do you know what, there's probably still another container of pumpkin lurking in that freezer somewhere.
Keeps on giving.
it is the vegetable or fruit, I mean technically it's a fruit, isn't it, that keeps on giving.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's different ways of categorizing. It's, yeah, technically, like biologically it's a fruit, because it has seeds, but in terms of how we'd categorize it as a culinary food, we don't really, yeah, it's a vegetable, I think, in my books anyway.
Well, all of this talk of food and fruit and veg, what's your current relationship like with food?
Well, I think food is kind of one of the defining things about my life, really. I love eating food. I love being around food that's been grown locally to me. I love cooking for other people. It's a real source of pleasure and nourishment, I'd say. And certainly over the past decade or so, I've been working in this quite niche, quite small sector, which is like the community food growing scene in London specifically. And I have just really enjoyed learning more about how to grow food and to appreciate kind of the seasonality of different fruits and vegetables. My diet's largely plant-based these days, which is definitely not something that's been true in the past. And just, yeah, the joy of vegetables is strong, really. And I really enjoy sharing that joy with other people as well. And cooking for people and bringing together people around food. And at the farm, we've just got lots of opportunity to kind of celebrate together and break bread together as well. We have a community lunch that happens every other week, which is really nice, which is usually just quite simple but delicious vegetable soup made in the style of Ready Steady Cook, of just whatever's available that week and kind of whatever's surplus. And yeah, I mean, food is an absolute source of joy, I'd say. That's my relationship with it.
I love that, the community lunch and the image of you guys sitting there eating soup. I like the breaking bread pun as well.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
So, like, in terms of the community farm, then, like, how do people get involved, or what's, you know, like, what's the demographic of people?
Yeah, it's a real mix and blend. So we're situated in the borough of Sutton, which is kind of one of the more southern boroughs of the city. So technically we're actually in Surrey. And in terms of how people getting involved, we welcome on average between 70 to 80 different local volunteers to the farm every single week. So we have varied volunteer sessions, loads of different types of activities that local people can get involved in. We also welcome volunteers with learning disabilities to get involved in the farming, and it's a real community hub essentially, which is great. And the demographic is quite varied. We've got quite a lot of older people who've retired, who are looking to do something with their time and really have it as a source of, yeah, making new friends and feeling connected to community. We've got people that are kind of in between jobs, or have more unconventional working hours. And that's because most of our volunteer sessions take place during the week. So a lot of people won't be able to volunteer then because they're working, but then anybody who isn't working full time, those are the types of people that tend to come midweek. That being said, we also have sessions on the weekend, and so for people that are working full time, they can come and get involved on a Saturday. And yeah, it's a real mix and blend. I mean, being on the edge of London means, yeah, there's a lot of different types of people, and it's a real chance to forge like intergenerational friendships and meet people that you really wouldn't come across in other contexts, you know. And what's really a nice thing about the farm is that everybody's there to take part in collective work. Mm-hmm. And either you're sort of growing the food together, or you're helping. We run an online farm shop, and so lots of our volunteers help with like weighing and packing, getting our customer orders ready for delivery. And then there's various other types of volunteering that happen as well, but what binds all the volunteers together is that you're at the farm doing something practical and working together in a team. And what's really nice about that is food is sort of the thing that brings everyone together. And through the process of growing food together or packing food together, you don't necessarily have to talk or have a pressure to be very sociable, but the act itself is very sociable, and it kind of brings people together. And observing the benefits that that brings to people is something I really value.
Absolutely. I mean, when you spoke as well about the intergenerational connections, it really made me think of my retired work bestie who I mentioned that has his allotment. You know, because I mean, there's 20 years between us, and you know, and I guess on the surface there was a lot of differences between us, and you know, in terms of race, gender, age. And I think the real connection was over food. And since he's retired, you know, I love spending time at his allotment when I can. And you know, even our sort of personality wise I guess I tend to be a bit more chatty than what, you know, he's a bit more self-contained and reserved. And something around doing something, handling plants, food, really brings people together.
Yeah, it really does.
And I was also thinking, you know, like before we started recording, we were talking about lockdown. And I remember when we was in lockdown, like there was no allotments available because everybody had sort of taken them up. And, you know, there was this sort of real shortage. And so I'm just imagining that you must have had a lot of people come through on the back of that, do you think?
Yeah, we definitely did. The start of the pandemic kick-started a huge number of changes for our community organisation. We had a huge surge in demand for our veg boxes as people were stuck at home cooking more, but also we had kind of quite major breakdown of supermarket supply chains. If you remember, we had empty shelves, and so kind of alternative sources of food, fresh food particularly, shot up kind of across the country. And then alongside the surge in demand for our veg, we also had a lot of people who were furloughed or whose job situation sort of radically changed from one week to the next. And our farm was considered an essential business, with both staff and volunteers considered to be key workers. So actually in the first few months of the first lockdown, when everybody was really stuck at home, we were at the farm, and we had a lot of people wanting to come to the farm to just be able to be outside and to be doing something practical and to be doing something as well that they felt was giving back to the community. And those were some pretty good days for us, really. Kind of coupled alongside lots of stress and anxiety and uncertainty and genuine fear about what was happening across society and what might happen in the future, the farm was a very grounding place to be. The weather was amazing as well for those first couple of months. It was sunny, it seemed, just every day. And to be able to go to the farm and to take part in growing food and knowing that you were doing something worthwhile and something like very innate in terms of the human experience, you know, working with the soil, being outside, being connected to nature. It was a real lifesaver for a lot of people, myself included, for sure. And for all the people that we were delivering to as well, fresh fruit and veg.
I mean, I think, you know, the benefit for mental health must be insurmountable. And like I said, being outside, getting some vitamin D, being in nature. I mean, all of these things have really therapeutic effects.
Yeah, they certainly do. And over the past couple of years, we've done quite a lot of research into the social benefits that people experience as a result of being involved in the farm, whether that's staff members or volunteers or even our customers as well. And yeah, huge benefit with well-being in terms of better physical health, better mental health, feeling connected to community, feeling like you've got a space where you can make friends and that you're welcome and you're included, learning new skills, gaining new knowledge, just feeling much more connected to where your food comes from, and yeah, eating better as well. We get quite a lot of vegetables at the farm, and so it's pretty exciting to see how that changes throughout the year, the different things that are seasonally available.
And you mentioned that you eat more of a plant-based diet these days. Would you say that's been the main difference between your current relationship with food and your past?
Definitely. I mean, I remember being just quite a picky eater when I was a child and through my adolescence. And grew up in a household where, yeah, we ate lots of meat and dairy. Never questioned it. And still my family eat quite a lot of meat and dairy, which is fine. But then since leaving home, yeah, my diet shifted. And certainly since working at the farm or working for similar organisations, I mean, now I'm basically just obsessed with vegetables and my life is all about vegetables and plants. And yeah, there's just a lot of exciting things you can do there. And still to this day, met with quite a lot of misunderstanding, let's say, particularly from older generations like my grandparents, who just don't really understand what I eat. They're like, oh, you must just eat grass and seeds if you're not eating meat and dairy. And it's like, well, no, I'm actually eating millions of exciting things every day and feeling really good and feeling really energized by it. And I have become, yeah, just a bit, I'm just that overly sensitive, let's say, to the seasonality and the provenance of food and where it comes from. And yeah, that's definitely not an awareness I had when I was growing up. But yeah, working on a farm, you can't really escape the seasonality of things. It just means, for example, like for certain months of the year, I won't really eat any tomatoes because there aren't any tomatoes around. And then when the tomatoes start coming, you're like, yes, I'm eating a tomato and it's absolutely delicious. Same with aubergines or things that tend to be summer vegetables that I would never, yeah, I just don't really eat them at certain times of year. And it makes it really exciting when they come round again, you know, and that just continues to happen throughout the year.
What are some of your sort of staple go-to dishes?
Eat quite a lot of curries, like quite tasty curry, I'd say, or risottos or roasted vegetables, black bean stew I really like making. Yeah, just try to eat quite a lot of pulses, like dal as well. But curry is good just because you can chuck in loads of different veg depending on what you've got. You're pretty much always going to have an onion and chilies and garlic. And yeah, it's just really tasty.
Absolutely, yeah. Curry is definitely one of my go-tos, if not my main go-to. And I guess as well, sometimes with vegetables, I don't know that you do need to do that much, you know. I think they can be really quite simple, can't they? You know, even just with like roasted, a bit of seasoning and yeah, and amazing.
Yeah, If you've got garlic and salt, you're sorted, I think. If you've got lemon and chilli, even better.
Absolutely. If you've got garlic, salt and chilli, you are winning at life.
Don't need much more, yeah.
And what do you do well in terms of reducing food waste?
You mean personally speaking?
Either, personally or at the farm.
So we tend to have quite minimal food waste at the farm because we only, the way we structure our online farm shop and our ordering system means that we only ever harvest what's already been sold. So we don't have a physical shop that you can walk into, even though that disappoints a lot of people who want to see a lovely display of beautiful, fresh, colourful vegetables. But yeah, we don't have a shop, and that's just because you have to harvest quite a lot of veg in advance, not knowing if it's going to sell or not, because you'd be dependent on people kind of just walking in, and that's not guaranteed. And so invariably you're going to have waste generated as a result of that. So we only ever harvest what's already been sold. If we have a surplus of veg, depending on the time of year, or if we have fruit and veg that's been damaged and we can't really sell it to our customers, then we actually give it away to all of our volunteers for free, which is a really, really nice perk. We've got something called the Elf Shelf at the farm, which is a shelving rack that's full of fruit and veg each week that we can't sell for whatever reason, and volunteers are welcome to help themselves, which really helps us cut down on food waste, as well as it being a nice perk for volunteers that are giving us their time for free. And then for any of the fruit and veg that's really gone quite manky and isn't really edible anymore, then we put it into our composting system. And compost is one of the key principles that we follow in terms of taking care of the land and like boosting the health and fertility of our soils. And so, yeah, any food and like waste that's coming out of our farm shop, along with things that we're clearing and composting if plants come to the end of their life cycle, goes into our compost system. And then that turns into food for future generations of plants. So yeah, we have pretty much close to zero food waste on the farm. And then personally speaking, similar thing. I feel quite strongly about food waste. I used to work for a food waste charity in the early days of being back in London about 12 years ago. And I just eat everything I can and only buy what I know I'm gonna eat. And I'm just, quite careful about that, because it's a bit of a scandal, I think, how much food we waste in this country. Try to minimize it where I can, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy the amount of food waste in this country and globally. It's an absolute madness. Is there anything that you would want to do more of in terms of reducing food waste, whether that's, you know, you yourself or at the farm?
I don't know. It's just a tricky thing. I think it's like, yeah, as you say, that it is a real problem in this country with people buying a lot of food, and then either their plans change for the week, or they don't end up cooking it, or they just don't want it, and then it starts looking a bit sad, and then it's kind of past its best, and then it really just kind of starts turning to sludge in the fridge, you know, and then it's gone past the point of no return. Interestingly, I remember reading something, because obviously with the cost of living crisis that's dominated for the past year, it's really made people change their consumer habits, and food waste apparently has been falling as a result of people being more careful with their money, or more careful with what they've spent their money on, and making sure that it doesn't go to waste. And so this is often what you see. And I remember similar at the pandemic, you know, when you're forced into having to make a change, then you make the change, and the change actually wasn't that hard to make. But when you have the luxury of lots of time or disposable income, then sadly, it just ends up.
Absolutely. But I wonder whether there's almost something about perhaps what you would want is a greater awareness among others, you know, because I think, like you said, I think when people were busy, you know, thinking about food can really sort of, you know, fall off, and we don't really pay attention. And you know, and I think when you are conscious of reducing food waste, you do sort of see how much is wasted around you. And you know, and I'm just thinking recently, like, my boyfriend made these sort of like potato pancakes for us, and I'm vegan, he's not, and so he bought himself this cream, dairy cream for him, and I had a soy cream.
Yeah,
his dairy cream is still sitting in my fridge, and I can't see that that's going to be used. And I guess, you know, whilst we had the pancakes, when I, with my soya cream, I was just doing things like adding it to my oats use it up. And I think, you know, it's, and I just don't think it would feature on his mind. So I don't think there's any sort of intent of I'm going to be wasteful, or, you know, I've got the money to throw away. I just think people get caught up with other things, like rushing off to work, I'll think about that later, or I'm not going to worry about that now. And, you know, and before you know it, that cream or whatever it is has then gone off.
Yeah, it's all understandable. It's just a pity that it happens at such a big scale.
It is, yeah. But I think there's definitely something about positive influence. I do, you know, and yeah, and I guess I'm sort of one for, I like to, you know, think of it as like gentle activism. So I do think there is something when, you know, people, you know, see what you're doing, whether it's like you're bringing back all these delicious vegetables and making use of what you've got. And I think there is something in that sort of people then take heed and start to make some small changes themselves.
Yeah, slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, lastly, what sort of change would you want to see in the world? And this could be related to food waste, anything else in terms of sustainability?
I think for me, the thing I care most about is like nature-friendly farming. There's so many ills with the globalized food system, really. And yeah, it can be a bit overwhelming when you think about everything. But the most important thing for me is, yeah, biodiversity and nature, really, and working in harmony with nature to grow and produce food. You know, I don't know if you've been watching the David Attenborough documentary series that's been on recently, but the final episode of Wild Isles was, a lot of it was about farming and farming in the UK. So obviously we were all quite interested to see that. And, you know, we've just been watching all these episodes of these amazing, yeah, flora and fauna across the UK. And then loads of it's under threat because of farming practices, really, and the fact that insect populations have fallen dramatically. We've got rid of loads of hedgerows over the past couple of decades. There's no habitats for wildlife and insects, and really like decimating our soils as well with our farming practices. And I just find it quite frustrating that terms like organic are seen as very luxurious and kind of bourgeois and like a fancy luxury to have, as opposed to growing food in a way that really respects nature and works in harmony with nature, as well as taking care of the people that are growing that food and taking care of the soil and really ensuring kind of long-term viability of our species to be able to feed itself, you know, going into the future. So yeah, I don't see organic food as a luxury at all, and I would love for there to be more of a recognition and more of a support for food that has been grown in a way that respects nature, as well as making sure that the farming practices that underpin that are fair to the land and fair to the people that are working within it. You know, like my biggest bugbear is that we spend loads of money on rent and mortgages and housing in this country, and we don't really want to spend that much money on food. And this is something that's a fairly modern phenomenon, just like the past, I don't know, couple of hundred years really swung in that direction, or not even that long. And so in terms of the change that I would really like to see is, yeah, just more support for sustainable food production and specifically, yeah, nature-friendly farming.
And I guess it's, you know, when we're sort of fighting against nature, there's some real detrimental effects as a result. I suppose I'm thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking of, you know, global warming and, you know, sort of animals going extinct. There's, you know, I suppose it almost feels like when you're at odds and you're fighting against nature, it will have no choice but to fight back.
Well, and it's just unsustainable, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, in terms of fighting back, I mean, there's only so far that we can carry on in the way that we are going, you know. If we ruin all of our soils, there won't really be that much food for us to eat later on. And probably that won't happen necessarily in our lifetimes, but for our children's lifetimes and beyond, I mean, it's not that far away, really, unless we change things up pretty rapidly.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the idea is just really bleak. But on a sort of more positive note, if people want to get involved with the farm, if they want to find you, what's the best way to go about it?
Yeah, so I'm saying if you live in South London or Surrey and prepared to travel, then there's different ways that you can get involved. You can come and volunteer with us, which is a wonderful thing to do if you've got the ability to do so. You can also buy fruit and veg from us, and that supports not just our farm, but we also buy lots of fruit and veg from other organic farmers and support their livelihoods as well. So you have just, yeah, quite a lot of environmental benefit that comes from buying your fresh food from us. And if you're not within our delivery area, then you can try and find another local veg box scheme to support. But we also run a couple of big public events throughout the course of the year, such as we've got like a summer open day coming up on the 1st of July, and then we'll have a big harvest festival on the 23rd of September. And that's a really great time to celebrate. But yeah, coming down to the farm, we'd love to see you.
And if people want to find out some more information online, like what's your website and social media handles?
Yeah, so our website is suttoncommunityfarm.org.uk, and we also are quite active on Facebook and Instagram. And you put me on the spot now. Our Instagram is Sutton Community Farm, and our Facebook and Twitter is just Sutton Farm. And those, yeah, certainly Instagram and Facebook are a really good way of keeping track of what's going on and having lots of lovely visuals and quite up-to-date imagery coming through, and like hearing directly from the people that are involved in our community.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Oh, it's been great. Thanks for having me along.
What a great guest Sonia was. I loved her enthusiasm for fruit, vegetables, crop, community. If any of you guys get involved with Sutton Community Farm, please let me know. I'd love to hear about your experiences. And also, if you've got a spare minute, please take a moment to rate, review, share, subscribe to the podcast. It'll make such a difference in terms of getting it heard. Thanks, Raiders. Until next time.